Well, this has been an interesting day for me. Those of you that were here at the 10 o'clock service know how unusual the offering was. I didn't really say anything about the offering. You know, I just had to obey what he told me to do. Tonight's kind of the same thing, and it still has to do with endurance. It reminded me of a letter that I wrote. I write a letter every month, and this one was way back in 95, September. And it has to do with the word again, endurance. And I had done a little word study on this back when I prepared this letter. And I think for the most part, I'm going to use this as pretty much a straightforward guide. Read the letter, and then also I got a copy of the endurance prophecy that's out there in the foyer. But I'm going to read part of that too today. Because there's a purging going on. Can you tell? Yeah. Wednesday night, I mean, you know, I was here Wednesday night. It reminded me of, I mean, there was just a core group here. I was surprised. I mean, and the Holy Spirit had warned Dave in a good way. He said, don't be surprised when you see all these empty seats. Uh-huh. And really be kind of excited because there is a purging that is necessary. But then after that, following right after that, is going to come more than we've ever seen before in the way of signs and wonders. Yep. And what I'm finding out from some other ministers around the country that are in fellowship with us, they're having somewhat the same thing happen. And they're not leaving like out of strife necessarily, or we hate you now, or anything like that. It's just all kinds of these reasons, but they're still reasons. And they're just so, you know, anyway, I don't want to go into all that. So the key word is endurance. Let me just read part of the prophecy. That this was, as I understand it, I wasn't there then, but this was like the very first word that ever came through Dave for the prayer center. So it says, when you have done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and again, I would say, when you have done all you know to do, stand. Stand, therefore. The key word shall be endurance, saith the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, saith the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray, and get this, if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf, for I'll show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity, and they will last. So I am giving you equipment that will work a great reward, for many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, saith the Spirit of grace. I will work mighty miracles before this is done. You will not lose your place, for your reward shall be exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit will say, for something new I begin this day. For the great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, so I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me. A place you have known about way down deep in your spirit, and from the foundations of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see before this is through, I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory, that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. Oh, for edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious, saith the Spirit of grace. He already is mad, and as a whirlwind is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me, and when the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there are many matters of wisdom that I desire you to understand. For I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the thing between what I desire and what is now taking place is being purged every hour. For many people come to this city for training, you see, and oh, I desire to give them full training, that they may leave walking in my power. So all of you who said, I hunger and I thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I will bring you into a place with me. Yes, I will bring you into a place with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that something? All right, so the key word is endurance. On our part, on Satan's part, he has a whirlwind come to do everything he can to stop that from coming to pass. Can I get any witnesses? So in September of 95, I was meditating on these things, and I wrote a letter that I, like once a month, and that I write one. Now I'm just going to read that because I did a word study on endurance and some things about speaking to the mountains in your life. I mean, the word, you know, we did a study here a while back about the biggest mountain of all was spiritual death. And that's really the mountain that Jesus came to move. Nobody could move it but Him. Thank God it's been moved out of the way. But there are other mountains in your life. Have you noticed? So, I wrote this little letter. And see, I think you can relate to it. Starts off like this. Says, I have never met anybody who enjoys problems. Have you? I personally like it when all of our bills are paid and there's gas in the fuel tank of the car and when everybody in our family is healthy, nobody's in strife with each other. I like it when the weather's pleasant. I like for people to think kindly of us and to say good things about us. I just like it like that. I mean, you know. Now, when things are going well for us, we tend to be content and happy. And those are not the times when we learn much about our true character. When problems arise, that's when we find out who we really are on the inside. One of the most familiar passages in the New Testament regarding how to handle times of trouble in our lives is this one from the King James Version, and that's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. It says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, notice we are to count it all joy. Why? Because joy is not the natural response when trouble arises. The Greek word translated count in that verse is, I'm taking a guess how to pronounce it, hegeomai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. And its primary meaning is to command or to have rule over. If we're going to have joy in the midst of our problems, we're going to have to allow the born-again spirit within us to rise up with authority and take dominion over our emotions by commanding them to be full of joy. Emotional, quote, pity parties are the surest path to destruction. Our emotions love to have those. Somebody wrote me a note. It's pretty good. You know, just something that God's dealing with them about. She was sharing with me after the service, says, stop telling God how big your mountains are. Start telling your mountains how big God is. But see, we seldom ever do anything like that. Unless, until you become trained to take dominion by your spirit. Normally, we want to compare my mountain with your mountain. If I have to endure you telling me about your mountains, I'll listen to your mountains. But wait till you hear about my mountains. I know my mountains are way bigger than yours, and surely you can handle those. Listen to my mountains. A few years ago, I was dealing with an $80,000 problem. And I was not full of joy. Part of this time when I was learning this, I don't know about you guys, but to me, $80,000, I mean, I know for some people that's probably pocket change. $80,000 problem is a problem for me. You know? And I didn't know what the answer was, and I like the way Dave says that, you know, my lower lip was interfering with the gas pedal when I drove. I've been serving you, God, and obeying you, God, and now I got this $80,000 problem, and in my mind, it was just so big, you know, $80,000. You know, you stare at something, and just the way that the Lord would have it that day, I was coming to church, looking for a place to park. Now, I saw an opening, so I pulled in, and I know it was the Lord's design that spot be open. Because when I pulled in, I happened to pull in right next to this beautiful red Mercedes that a certain person at that time attending here was driving, very wealthy person. And I'm looking at that car, and the Lord begins talking to me like, how much you reckon that car cost? And I said, the way that one's there decked out, it's probably not far off from that $80,000. It's probably pretty close. He says, so now let me get this straight. This insurmountable mountain to you, this other lady, she would consider that enough maybe to buy a decent car. How small have you made your God? How small have you made your God? My brethren, count it all joy. Take dominion. Let me read you that definition again. Its primary meaning is to command and to have the rule over. And if we're going to have joy in the midst, most of us have joy when the problems are over. But if we're going to have joy in the midst of the problems, we're going to have to allow the born-again spirit within us to rise up with authority and take dominion over our emotions. By commanding them to be full of joy. David would speak to his soul. You know, he'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. He would literally talk to his own soul. Don't you forget His benefits. Now that was a man under the old covenant. He had God's word, but he had enough. No wonder he was a man after God's own heart. He had enough oomph. Gumption said, I will not let my emotions rule over me. So, I command you. You bless the Lord. And that's exactly how you count it all joy. How big is your God? See, that's pretty good. That's better, isn't it? Stop telling God how big your mountains are. Start telling your mountains how big your God is. That's good. But even that's not scriptural. Scriptural is you tell your mountains to leave. Yes. You command the mountains. When you don't talk to them about God, you just, in the name of God, you command them to go. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Doesn't say stand there and talk to it about how big God is. It says, get! Get out of here! Get out of my way in Jesus' name! Amen. What's the point of mountains? These big, you're walking along, you're possessing the land, you come up to this giant mountain. We're going to read about this in a minute. Well, it looks like you can't ever get over that thing. I mean, what if it's 15,000 feet tall, you know, and it's a whole mountain range like the Rockies that go from the north to the south of the country. There's no way around it. You know, and it looks like I'll never get over that thing. Like my 80,000 quote problem, for crying out loud. It was a molehill, you know, from the right perspective. But if you come up to a mountain, the whole idea is, gosh, I'll never go any farther. This is as far as I can go. This mountain is blocking my path. What if that mountain left? And there's nothing now but a level plain for you to walk on.
Hallelujah.
Say this with me. Those mountains are not going to stop me.
They're not even going to slow me down.
Before me,
they become a level plain
for me to walk on.
I will fully possess the land.
Hallelujah. Now that takes some endurance. Because your emotions are going to come right back. I'm telling you what, they come right back. It takes a while. I've been through that. And you can win them in one war and do pretty good. Then a different kind of war attack you. And all of a sudden you forgot all about that other victory now. Oh, God save me then. We're going to die now. No, you're going to win this time too. It's just another mountain. Count it all joy. How big is your God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on here. Our emotions love to have those pity parties, you know. But there's no victory produced from them. And for years, I couldn't understand how it was possible. And I'm telling you the truth. I mean, for those early days of count it all joy, I mean, I couldn't. That seems so opposite to human nature. We want to bawl and squall and cry and, oh God, oh God, oh God, and wring our hands and problems, mountains, you know. I didn't understand how it was possible to maintain joy in the midst of serious problems. Because the passage shares the key to victory. Because the passage says the key to victory is the word patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work. But the modern definition of the word patience means to sort of sit there and put up with it. I don't know what the English word patient meant to the readers when the King James Version of the Bible was first printed in 1611, but I do know that the modern definition of the word does not match the Greek word in its original text. Regarding this particular passage of Scripture, the New American Standard does a better job of bringing out the meaning in the original Greek language. So here's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 from the New American Standard. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many want to be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing? Me too. For benefit of the tape, every hand practically is going up here. And endurance is the key. And then in this letter I referred back to this. The very first exhortation that the Lord spoke to the prayer center was endurance is the key. And there's a big difference in our concept of endurance compared with patience. So I looked up those two words in the New American Heritage Dictionary. See, patience in the English today, in our generation, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means resignation. In other words, I'm just resigned to this. It means forbearance, and it means passive, long suffering. Patience. Potawatomi definition, sit there and take it. You know, devil's punching you around, beating you up, stomping on you. Just sit there and take it. That's what we think of with patience. But the Greek word is closer to our modern definition of endurance. You look up endurance in the dictionary and it says stamina, persistence, perseverance, withstanding hardship or stress. There is a passiveness associated with the word patience. But there is an active withstanding associated with the word endurance. Patience sits on the wilderness side of Jordan and longs to someday live in the promised land. Like I said today, we want to build the bleachers, sit in the stands, eat our popcorn, drink our lemonade. God, we're going to enjoy watching you conquer all of our enemies. That's what patience would do. Just sit there and wait until you die, because that's not how you possess the land. No. But endurance crosses over Jordan and continues in battle after battle after battle with joy, knowing that one day it will fully possess what God has promised and will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Be turning to, this is going to be a hard one. I've got it on my page, but it might take you a minute. Zechariah. Table of contents tells Zechariah chapter 4. And I'll just read to you while you're looking there. Now, it's a familiar passage. You'll recognize it. It says, sometimes problems get so big that they look like mountains to us. And if somebody's trying to go in a certain direction and there are mountains in the way, he thinks, those mountains are huge. They're either going to stop me, or at least it's going to slow me down, make it a lot more difficult. Well, there was a man named Zerubbabel in the Old Testament who had been given the assignment of rebuilding the temple of God. And the problems he faced, and if you read about him, you have to read several books to get it all, Nehemiah and Ezra and several of them to get the whole picture. There were enemies that would come against them. While Nehemiah was involved in this, he had the people, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. I mean, because there was enemies that would attack it at a moment's notice. Hey, y'all ever felt like that, just trying to pray and do the things that, you know, you better build with one hand and have a sword in the other, because the enemy is going to come in every opportunity try and stop you. Well, that's kind of what Zerubbabel was facing. And he'd been given the assignment of rebuilding the temple of God. And the problems he faced were huge. And no doubt they began to look like impassable mountains to him. But listen to what the Lord spoke to him through the voice of the prophet Zechariah. And this is verses 6 and 7, very common, or very familiar. It said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Grace. Grace unto it. The New Testament counterpart of that, you can look it up real quick. Just good to see it with your own eyes, Mark 11:23. How you do that, how you shout. See, that mountain really, by faith, Jesus has already won the complete price for us. It's already been won. But how we enforce that victory is 1 inch below your nose. It's 1 inch below your nose. You've got to, even in the type and shadow, Zerubbabel couldn't think kind thoughts about the mountain and win. Could he? He had to shout. That doesn't mean think loud. Shout grace to it. Jesus said, Mark 11. Here it is. Verily I say unto you. Now the mountain he was moving was the biggest mountain of all. Spiritual death. And we can... That same situation, like with Zerubbabel, he wasn't assigned to move spiritual death, but he was sure assigned a project from God. I got news for your head. You've got a project from God. Amen. The devil's job is to get every little molehill looking like a giant mountain in front of you, mm-hmm. hopefully to get you to give up. Yeah. This far and no farther. And just be neutralized the rest of your life. Like, you can't have your miracle, in other words. You may have possessed some, you got a part of it, but you better stop right here, because you're not getting over that mountain. That's the devil's job. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. Persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, anything that he can use, trying to make it look to you like a mountain, you'll never get past it. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall talk to God about the mountain, Whosoever shall talk to his neighbor about the mountain. Whosoever shall squall and bawl and cry about the mountain. That whosoever shall say unto the mountain, talk to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have most of what he says. Oh, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But now there's really an important part there. You've got to take the whole... See, I used to only get occasional results with that. Thank God I got occasional ones. Because before I knew the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, all I really knew was the teachings on this verse. That alone was enough that I'm still here. Cancer did not take me off the planet in 1990. I was given 6 months to live. That has been a long 6 months. But I knew to talk to the mountain. We knew that much. But one thing that I've learned over the years, that works best when you're on God's plan for your life. You know, you're out trying to build your own empire. Now, you never phrase it like that. But you don't really have His plan, not yielded to His plan. You're not really, you know, on His path. You're just doing the best you can and hope it's Him. There's a big difference between those two things. I did that for 12 years. We did all kinds of stuff for Him, hoping some of it was God. And He'll bless anything that you know. Just this brother here just asked me a while ago, man, he just doesn't know how much I need a road trip. I like a road trip. He's kind of offering me for you to go with it. You just don't know, man. I'd like to jump on that like a duck on a June bug. I'd like to go. I mean, I love to travel and go and do things, you know. Trouble is, I'm on assignment. I've prayed enough to know what I'm supposed to be doing right now, and traveling ain't part of it. I'm supposed to be right here to help hold up some hands while some things are happening. I'd love to do that, see. But and in the old days, I'd go, that must be God. I'm going. And God would bless it. Don't get me wrong. He blessed everything that we did. But there's just a far cry from that and praying to where you know what He's called you to do. Mm-hmm. And you're doing what He called you to do. Now that, I'm telling you, when you find that out, more mountains are coming than were coming before. Because now you've become even more dangerous to the devil.
Yeah. Amen.
And he's going to throw mountain and roadblock and brick walls and the kitchen sink. You'll find the kitchen sink laying all along there, more than one of them. He's throwing the kitchen sink at you. And every single one of those mountains, he didn't distinguish between them. The same thing works on all of them. You got to speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Thinking kind thoughts, I mean, that's good. Thinking nice thoughts. People are always asking me, will it work if I just think in tongues? Can I just think in tongues? Well, it doesn't say in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that thinks in an unknown tongue. Does it say that? No, he that speaks in an unknown tongue. See, well, what if his tongue was cut out? I guess God would make an exception for him. Is that you? Is that you? The general rule, if you got a tongue, speak. Hallelujah. Well, here, it's speak to the mountain. So when a mountain is removed, nothing is left but a flat plain, a level field. The mountains will not stop us. Say that. The mountains. Say it. The mountains.
The mountains.
Will not stop me.
Will not stop me.
The mountains will not even slow me down.
I take authority
over every mountain.
I command every mountain
to leave.
In Jesus' name.
And they leave. And I walk on a level plain. Hallelujah. 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 And I know you mean that when you say it here. I would so like to be that little bug on the wall that could hear what you say the next mountain that crops up. Uh-huh. See, it gets real quiet right here. Notice how nobody's saying anything right here. See? Okay, yes, sir. Y'all know a mountain that cropped up in my life two years ago or so was that hip problem and that back problem. And I didn't recognize it. And normally I'm pretty good at recognizing mountains. But it was so gradual, it came on me so slow over a period of years, I never even thought of it like that. It's just stupid. There's no other way. I mean, it just was. And I was just letting my mouth just agree with every symptom. And I go, God, and right now this is time out. I'm teaching. Anyway, because I'm going to say some. I would say, if this gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. How's that? You know?
Uh-huh.
I said, this pain is killing me.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be able to walk. On and on and on. And then telling other people about it. You got hip problems? I do too. I'm patiently enduring while you tell me about your problem. Just sit there. I'm going to tell you about my mountain here in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for a real godly wife who, not in any kind of a usurping way, but firmly, one day put her little finger right up like this, right up towards my nose, in a good way though, but with firmly, you know, Sue, if you don't change what you are saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair. He's going to steal the whole rest of your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And just walked away. Thank God. And I got, did I get angry? Yeah, I did. I don't like, do you like to be rebuked? I don't either. Even though she did it just perfectly. She did it. And I didn't, you know, I caught myself, you know, but I mean, my first flash was anger. Well, and then I said, boy, she's right. She's right. And I had the first thing I had to change. Or was it the only thing involved? No. I began to, but the first, I'm going to tell you, the first thing I had to change, I mean, from that day now, you could not get it out of my mouth. I don't care if, and I mean, even after that point, there were times I couldn't walk as far from the couch to the bathroom. Had to get on all fours to make it to the bathroom, pull myself up on the bathroom counter, even to, you know, anyway. But it was bad. And while I'm doing it, crawling across the floor, by His stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
Himself blesses my water and blesses my bread and takes sickness away from the midst of me. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. You know, Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Everything I mean, in the natural, it was exactly opposite. And I would speak to my hip. At the time, I didn't know it was associated also with the back problem. I say, hip! I'd hit it real light because it hurt like everything. Hip, you're going to obey me. We're not going into no wheelchair. We're going to serve the Lord. Do you hear me, hip? Be strong. I command you in Jesus' name. Everything that I knew to do, once Sue opened my eye, you know, it was like I was a blind. I just didn't realize that it was, you know, the enemy trying to take me out. And boy, did it not change overnight. Any of you that's fought these kind of wars, it did not change overnight. If anything, it got worse for a while. But endurance, here we go again, see. Most people's idea of confession, be honest with you, that at my experience, most of them, if they last a week, that's a champion of the faith. I'm just telling you the truth. Most of them don't last a week. See, it gets real quiet again, right? Sue and I are still confessing something that the Lord told us in July of 1987. This next month will be 20 years. Hey, Abraham was 25 years from the time he first received the promise till Isaac was born. Amen?
Amen.
And what God said to us, that one, we've had a lot of things come to pass. That one hasn't. It will.
Yes.
And we're still confessing it.
Amen.
But endurance is the key. And do you feel like it all the time? No, that's where you got to count it all joy. That's where that, a Picasso one day that Dave says, you know, every now and then just one of those little sentences that's not, it's just almost like an afterthought. This was sometime in the last year or two, I don't remember exactly. He would just, this is a Rembrandt. This ought to be framed and put in on the living room wall. He says he's found one thing that's really impossible with God. You want to know what it is? You can't get Him to go off and worry with you. It's impossible. He can't do it. He just can't do that. He won't go off and worry with you. You can't get Him to do it, no matter how hard you try. And if we can just keep that in our just that right there is enough for victory. How small is a hip problem to my God? How big is my God? How small is a back problem, kidney problem? I mean, He makes those things. He makes new kidneys. He makes new hearts. Make new. Do you all know that Sue's hip? This was years and years ago. Her hip would just come out of socket. I mean, it was just painful. Just be walking along and bam, I mean pain. Just her hip just come out of joint. Just the pain was incredible. And we'd get it back in, you know, and it'd be okay for a while. One day, Dave just coming over here, called Sue out, prayed for her, bam. That hip went back in, and only one more time now, it tried to come out one more time. And she learned her lesson. She spoke to it. She said, "Hip, we've been healed. You don't get to come out anymore. Go back in." It's never come out again, and that was years and years ago. Years and years ago. Now, would it have made a difference what she said? Would it have made a difference? Absolutely. You have what you say, on the good or the bad. All right. You don't have to look this one up. Here's another one. Matthew 17:20, the last part of it says, "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall," here it is again, say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Now again, the reason for using the imagery of mountains in teaching this, a mountain to a person that's walking looks like something impassable. So you come that far, but now it looks impossible to go any farther. But what if that mountain is gone? Now, all things are possible. Doesn't matter what it is. Hallelujah. So remember, God is with us. One of the surest paths to victory is to always compare the size of our mountains to the size of God's grace. Don't ever forget that thing about that car. Okay? I remember that every... I don't care how big the mountain is. Faith does grow, you know. Faith does grow. Hallelujah. Mountains quickly flee at His presence. Have faith in God's grace. Faith brings His power on the scene to remove the mountain. And that's how we can count it all joy. That's how we can steadfastly endure. It's the joy of knowing that enduring faith in God's grace will remove every mountain of problems that we face in life. Amen. I'm going to read that one part again because it's the hardest part to remember. How do you count it all joy? The Greek word translated count in that verse is hegeomai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Its primary meaning is to command and to have the rule over. So if we're going to have joy in the midst of our problems, we're going to have to allow the born-again spirit within us to rise up with authority and take dominion over our emotions by commanding them to be full of joy. Now that is easy to preach and hard to do. Because when emotions have come in like a flood, there is nothing in you that wants to take dominion over nothing. I just want to cry and bawl and I've got it so bad. And that's the pity party. And it's the surest path to destruction. Mm-hmm. Now you might as well know this. Your spirit has no fellowship with that. The part of us that is made like God, God has no pity parties. The part of us that's made like Him doesn't either. And that part of us that likes to wallow in all that self-pity, that's the part that's got to be renewed. And right at the same time, God is love. You know? Sometimes they get almost accused of being hard or lacking in compassion. Yeah, lacking in compassion. Jesus is compassion with legs.
Yes.
And He would say to somebody right in the midst of their problem, "How is it that you have no faith?"
Yes.
You want to get some persecution? Just say that to somebody while they're in the midst of their problem. You're drowning? Your ship's going under, is it? Mountains stopped you, have they? He's compassion with legs. He is love personified. He is like what Sue did to me that day. I didn't need a pity party. I need somebody to tell me the truth. To get me talking to the mountain again. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting this? Hallelujah. All right, so endurance is the key during the period of time where your mouth is in agreement with the problem. You know, and you haven't started fighting your mountain yet, you know. Like with me, okay? Well, it sure didn't help. See, every time I spoke, I'm just continuing to authorize the devil's work in my life. I'm having what I say. See, the trouble of it is you do have what you say when it's what you believe. And I believed, at the time I was saying what I truly believed. I mean, man, this pain is so bad it's going to put me in a wheelchair. And if I'd have kept on with that, then I would have had that. But now, right on the other hand, as soon as Sue did that and I recognized what I'd been doing, I just repented real quick. And
18:6-7.
This is Proverbs 18:6-7. It says, A fool's lip enters into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. That would get a spanking. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Boy, is that not perfect? His lips are the snare of his soul. Well, my example there is the perfect illustration of that. But see, the thing of it is, you can repent at any time. I just said, Father, I don't remember exactly what I prayed, but it was something like, oh, God, Father, I am so sorry. I don't know what was wrong with me. Forgive me for all of this. Now, I don't know if this is really scriptural, but somebody said years ago, if words are seeds and you've been saying the wrong words, pray for crop failure. So sometimes I'll say something like that. I'll say, Father, I rebuke all those words. I cast them to the ground. I declare none of them will ever come to pass. Forgive me. Because the blood is always there to cleanse us, see? And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the part that drives the devil crazy. Because that's what we have that Adam did not have. We have that all the time. So we can get instant forgiveness, wash it away, whiter than snow. I've never failed God, and phew, we're going right on again. But during the time that I'm adding my mouth to what the enemy's doing, yeah, my lips are my own destruction. Just repent and start saying what God says. What the devil does, he takes God's gospel, he wraps it in man's circumstances, until his goal is for us to come up with some kind of gospel that fits our circumstances. So, you know, well, I prayed and they didn't get healed, therefore, it's not always God's will to heal. No, that's making your own gospel. You're coming up with some kind of gospel that's not his gospel. See, if Jesus hadn't have come, we might have an excuse. But He is the Word of God made flesh. The prophet said, God is a healer. But Jesus come and said, watch me, I'll show you your Father's a healer. You can look at me. If you see me, you've seen the Father. He never turned anyone away saying it's not His will. We cannot change God's gospel to fit our circumstances. The truth of the matter is, if you'll hold fast to His gospel, His Word will change your circumstances. Truth changes facts. So we're not ever going to settle for man's gospel. Well, what if I pray, what if the next 100 I pray for, what if they die? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
That's God's gospel. I'll be saying that the next time you see me. Yeah, but the last 100 you prayed for died. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. That so reminds me of that 2 years or so where Sue and I, we would say those kind of things over our three daughters. Most of you have heard the tape, heard that message, how all three of them were in rebellion at the same time. And the devil was giving us all they were out drinking. I mean, they were just doing what they do, you know. They're only 2 years apart and they're all teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenagers at the same time, okay? And, the circumstances, thank God we were in this war. We didn't add our lips, not any, to all that stuff that was, because the devil would show us pictures of them drunk and having car wrecks and all kinds of stuff, you know, all just being out there. And, man, we'd walk the floor and just like this, devil, you can't have our daughters. Our daughters are that. No one, while we're saying it, right then, they're at the bar. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord.
Amen.
They prophesy the Word of God. Our daughters are anointed. Our daughters, they belong to Jesus. They serve Him with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, all of their strength. And while I'm doing it, there's visions of them having car wrecks drunk in my brain. It doesn't say not doubt in your head. It says don't doubt in your heart.
Amen.
You're not going to have any of our daughters. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. Sometimes it would take an hour or two just for some measure of peace. You know, speaking God's Word will help you take dominion over those emotions. You know? Just so reminds me of that. I thank God we knew what to do with that mountain. And most of you know, all three of them are working with us in the ministry now. All three of them. You know, married to godly men, raising godly seed. Hallelujah. You have what you say. And boy, it would have been easy. It would have been easy to get our mouths right. We didn't raise you like that. He had to get on to me. You know, God, it's always me God has to get on to. But I did a little bit of that right in the beginning because I didn't know any better. What are you doing? We didn't raise you like this. Nah. He had to remind me of something that he told, something I'd heard on a Norville tape 10 years before. Because he was doing that with Zona when she was doing like that. Most of you have heard it, right? And God had to get on to him and says, you're not loving your daughter right. What do you mean I'm not loving her right? Says, when she comes in all drugged up, I want you to say two things to her, then I want you to shut up. What am I supposed to say? Say, Jesus really loves you, and I really love you, and then I want you, the way Norville says it, you to shut up. Am I doing pretty good? He reminded me of that. Oh, God. And I'm so, you know, Erin especially, she'd be leaving out. We know where she's going. She's all dooted up. You know, she's going to the bar, you know. And Sue would say, now, honey, as she's headed out the door, honey, listen to the Holy Ghost, honey. And she'd, yes, mother. Those words would just haunt her, though, see.
Yes.
They would just, listen to the Holy Ghost, honey, while you... The Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Amen.
I'll add my witness to that. I'm telling you, I've got a good wife. You know? But man, that reminds me. I remember that warfare. And it wasn't over quickly either. A lot of these wars, these mountains don't always move as quick as you want to move. That one was several years. But thank God. Thank God. All three of them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to give you an acid test. You know, we used to have in engineering and chemistry, they have a litmus test.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to guess about things. You can use this litmus paper and you can tell. It is or it isn't. Okay, here's a way you can tell. If I was to just do a surprise knock at your door,
uh-huh.
and I said, you know, you didn't know I was coming,
mm-hmm.
You call it a surprise inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Say, could I see your confession sheet that you have where you're speaking to your mountains, the problems in your life? Could you give me a copy of it right now, not 5 minutes
yeah.
from now?
Mm-hmm.
See how quiet it gets?
No.
See how quiet it gets? I could give you mine.
Yeah.
I could give it. I have it in writing. I don't trust my memory. I have certain things I'm confessing over not only Sue and I, but certain people.
Yeah.
Certain people. And we go, not every day, but most days, you know, several times a week, we'll mm-hmm. go through them. We don't leave it to memory.
Amen.
We have it and printed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have every one of those things. We have a whole ring binder full of things
yes,
that we've already possessed over these years and that things are in our own life. But here's a litmus test for you. Now, this isn't a 100% litmus test because I suppose it is possible that you could be doing it without having it written down. It's possible. I doubt it. If I could be a little bug on the wall and listen this next week, when there's nobody else there, when you're by yourself, am I going to hear you at any time, just, you know, any reasonable amount of time at all, speaking to your mountain? Good. Got a few? Good. That's the litmus test. If you're doing that, glory to God. You are the rare Christian. You are the rare one that I've found. Okay? If you're not, don't have to raise your hand. Get with the program. Get with the program. Speak to your mountain and do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You have what you say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the prayer center.
At the prayer center.
That's interesting that the next thing is the mind of Christ is delivered. I think it just got delivered.
Yeah.
You know? What land are you possessing right now? See? What land... What's your next victory going to be? What's it going to look like when you tell me about it? If you haven't already described it, if it's not fully described in your hoper, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you can't see it, you can't have it. Just that simple. You've got to be able to spy out the land. You've got to be able to see it. Then you told Abraham, walk this thing from the top to the bottom and the right to the left. Remember, he walked the whole land. Why? Fill his hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Get it out on paper. It really helps. You know, what did he say to one of the prophets? Write the vision. Make it plain that those that read it can run thereby. Get it out so clear that not only you can see it, but you could get other people to see it. I had two people today right at the end of the service prayed for with cancer. God's will, I'm telling you right now, is they both be perfectly healed. And I did everything I could. I started telling them right at the end of it, because I've learned. We prayed for them, spoke the word over them, and I said, start making plans for 15 years from now.
Yeah.
Because I've learned.
Yes.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Mm-hmm. They've got to see themselves well 15 years from now. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. There's no magic number 15. You understand what I'm saying? Just try in the future. Okay. Hallelujah.